I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I work with women worldwide, assisting them in having an empowering and natural birth experience and to truly claim their birth as a rite of passage. I offer online one-on-one sessions, packages, and online courses for the conscious mamas who don't want to leave their birth up to chance. If you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then please visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com or connect with me on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Now, if you love this podcast, then please consider taking a moment right now and leave a review. They mean the world to me, and is also your way of helping me reach more women around the world with these natural and empowering birth stories. Together, we are changing the birth narrative, one birth story at a time. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Rachel. Rachel is a mama of two from the US. Her first baby boy was born 5 years ago in the hospital via induction for going over 40 weeks. A practice that is getting more and more common despite its many risks to mother and baby, including increased risk of the use of epidural, cesarean, and instrumental birth, just to name a few. And without any benefit for a normal mama and baby. After the first birth, Rachel decided to educate herself to have a home birth for her second and ended up having an empowering and quick birth in the pool in her sunroom, bathed in the sound of the song of the frogs from the pond outside. She found her birth to be calm, quick, and pain-free, and wish that all women could know that birth can be like this. Curious about Rachel? Find her on Instagram as Rachel Utkowitz. Are you planning a home birth? Then did you know that you can download my free home birth checklist that I give to all my mamas who are having a home birth? Just pop into the show notes to find my home birth checklist as well as all my other free resources for a natural and physiological birth. Claim your birth, mama. Hi, Rachel, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Anna?
I'm great. I'm excited to hear your story.
So, I'm excited to share it.
Yeah, so let's dive on in straight away. I mean, we kind of had a little chat before we started this recording, and you kind of shared that where you're based, home birth has only been legal for the last 11 years or something, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. And your beautiful wife was a pivotal person in that kind of happening. So that's cool. But before we start with your amazing home birth that was just 2 weeks ago, oh my God, we will kind of touch upon you falling pregnant the first time and kind of having the standard American birth story, right, in hospital. So
right,
maybe just if you want to share with our listeners, like when you fell pregnant the first time, what kind of preparation you did or didn't do, how you decided to have a hospital birth or not, just your thoughts around that and kind of like the wisdom that you gained through going through that
Sure.
Medicalized birth.
So my first son I had in 2018, his name's Gavin. With him, I kind of just fell into whatever my family had always done. You know, my mom had hospital births, although she did have all her kids naturally. She, you know, that was in the 80s and the 90s. And I think it was a little easier to go without, you know, medicated birth and things like that. Yeah, it wasn't definitely pushed so hard.
You know, in the 80s and 90s, epidurals will only be used when it was like really necessary medically. It was not something that all women was offered. It was something only used if you like had something happen during your birth that made it medicalized.
Mm-hmm. And my mom said that too. She was like, it was never even offered. Like it wasn't something that they offered me. And she also waited a super long time to go to the hospital with each one, which is kind of like what they recommend anyway. If you're going to go to the hospital, like to wait until like, you know, you need to go kind of thing. I just, you know, they had always used OBs and had gone through the hospital system. And so that's just kind of like what I thought was normal. I did try to pick a more natural doctor. He was like an African doctor that promoted like natural birth control methods and, you know, different things like that. But ultimately, it did not happen the way that I kind of expected it to, even in the hospital. And I kind of had told you, I really didn't even know about home birth with my first child. It's not really a thing that's talked about. It's kind of like a taboo, like, oh, you know, that's super risky. Like, you know, you really want to think about that before you do it type of thing. So it was never even mentioned back then when I was pregnant with him. For him, I had, I want to say like your typical traumatic hospital birth with a couple twists. I got there and I just remember like, I've always been a super private person, like with my body. I'm not, you know, I don't throw it out there for everyone to see like type of thing. It's just how I've always been. And I remember going back into the room and the nurse handing me stuff to change in. And I was like, well, you know, I had kind of brought like a robe or like something that I was more comfortable in. And she basically was like, you have to wear this. And I was like, not comfortable changing in front of her. And she more or less was like, well, you have to get over it because you're getting ready to have a baby. And I just started crying. And I was like, it's still like emotional to me, but I just felt like that was so rude and impersonal. It's like, you're already so full of emotions, like right then anyway. I guess I should back up. I was induced with him and there was really no reason. I hit 40 weeks and my provider was basically like, well, if you don't go into labor in the next like 2 or 3 days, then we're just going to schedule your induction. And I didn't know. I could be like, no, I think I'd rather wait another week or so. Like, I was just like, oh, okay. They said I'm going to have to be induced. So we went and we walked and walked and walked and walked at like our local mall. And like, I did everything that they tell you to do to try to like induce yourself naturally. And, you know,
well, this is looking, the thing, you know, using natural ripening techniques or induction techniques, if you want to call it that, will never work if you and your baby are not ready. It won't.
Oh, he wasn't ready.
Right? No. And most first-time mamas will not be ready until 40 plus 10 days and beyond that. Like that is actually when most first-time mamas will birth. So that tells you that mostly around the world, especially in the US, almost no first-time mamas will actually have a baby on their actual when they want to come.
Unless you know you can refuse it. But yeah, most people don't.
No. Well, like, if you listen to this podcast, you better know.
Yeah. And listen up, so, girls.
Yeah, exactly. So it sounds like you had very much the typical kind of American and Western first birth story, which absolutely, you know, most women will also feel like, wow, okay, something was taken away from me or that was traumatic.
Yeah.
What was the pearls of wisdom? Was the takeaway that you really like found out throughout this birth that, wow, I do not want that to happen again? What was the biggest takeaways for you?
Number one, I got to like, they call it the mom and baby room. And there was like 10 people in there waiting for me. I didn't get like 5 minutes of peace with my baby and my husband. Now, and that's why I was like hellbent on this home birth, like, because I was like, nobody will be there except my midwife and her assistant. Like, I don't want, and I think I had emailed you and said, like, we didn't photograph our birth or anything. I was like, nobody, I don't want anybody. So my biggest pearl of wisdom, if you do have to go to the hospital for whatever reason, which is fine if you do, there's plenty of reasons that that has happened, but stand up for yourself. If you know that that's going to be an overwhelming situation, or you know medical people are telling you things that you don't agree with, you have got to have a voice. And if you don't think you can, hire a doula or hire somebody to be there with you. Like, you're in such like la la land when you're going through all that. It's like everything happens so fast and they just do things before you even realize it. And I just wish I had had a support person there to be like, whoa, like, guys, she just had a, I was in labor for like over 36 hours. I got induced at 6 a.m. on a Friday and I didn't have him until 1 p.m. on Saturday. So he was definitely not ready to come. But that's my pearl of wisdom for that. Just stand up for yourself. And if you can't, hire somebody who can.
Like, and that's it, you know. Very few women, I would say 99.9% of women, can't stand up for themselves, or however you want to phrase that. Because as you just said, like, when you are actually, if you actually are in the birthing realm, you are not in your, and should not be in your neocortex. You shouldn't be in your brain. You shouldn't be thinking, making decisions, having to vocalize things. Like, you should have minimal of that, and you should be in your birthing body. So I would say 100%, if you are having a hospital birth, you need a doula or a birth support person, a spiritual midwife, a birth keeper, whatever you want to call them, whoever they are in your area. You know, you need a birth support person that will be the lioness protecting of your space, and the one that can stand up for you and vocalize things that is in your interest.
And that was the
support you emotionally.
Yeah, that was a good thing. My midwife's name was Chloe. If I had had to transfer, she would have transitioned to my doula, essentially. So, and I, like, we talked about that beforehand. I was like, I will not go in there without somebody that has some sense. Like, I need somebody. And my husband's great, but he's just going to, like, I don't know how to explain it. He's going to be more like there to be there for me and less to be there to push everyone else out, if that makes sense.
Exactly. And also, you know, I hear a lot of women tell me this, you know, that they go, oh, you know, it's going to be just me and my partner. My partner's going to be my support person and he's going to advocate for me. And that's lovely in theory. But when he sees you in the throes of labor and he sees you in perceived pain and distress, so you are or not, you know, your sounds, your demeanor, everything might be really intimidating or scary to see, you know, because he might see, oh, she's in pain, or she's in, you know, it's huge for him to witness you go through labor and birth, especially the first time around when it's his first time too. He's just as novice as you and he's not trained. He's not a birth doula or a midwife or someone who has, you know, understanding ins and outs of the system, of the medicalization and of the birth process. Yes, you can do a birth course, and I really recommend both men and women doing that. Mm-hmm. But that's not enough for him to be your advocate, believe me. And at the end of the day, if a medical personnel comes in and says, your baby's going to die, or you need to do this because of this, he's going to be scared and say, absolutely, just do that. Because he doesn't have that information that a midwife or a doula or a birth support who's trained has, right? And he shouldn't. He shouldn't have that responsibility. I always say that too. I don't think you should put that responsibility on him. He's not going to be able to be that fully for you. No.
My husband is an outdoorsman. He's like, he has an excavation company. Like, his thing is machines. His thing is not birth support, like, not in the slightest.
And for most men, it's not. Like, for women, we are much more like people, like, men, if they're very masculine, they're more like into things than people, like, as you said, like, cars or like, and that's just how we actually are wired. Like, you know,
yeah.
The more masculine we are, whether we're women or men, we're going to be more into things. And the more feminine we are, the more we're going to be into like relationships and people and caring mm-hmm. for people. And like,
it's just the natural way of how that goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, just hire a birth support person. 100%. Because he did a birth class with me this time. He didn't last time, but with her practice, she offers like a free one that you can go to with your spouse or and your kids or whoever. And we did that one this time because I had done all of my, you know, preparation for this birth and, you know, had really, really like kind of dove into what's, you know, what I wanted this time. And he was, you know, out there with the excavator. So, so he went to the birth class with me this time.
Good. And I really wish, you know, if anyone listening right now, if this is your first baby, whoever your partner is, like, it's so important that they also prepare for birth because it's their birth too, whether mm-hmm. they're not going to be experiencing what you're experiencing, but you know, chances are if they don't prepare, they're going to feel so lost and so out of place and not know what they can do. And that's mm-hmm. not going to be helpful for you or for them. You know, mm-hmm. it's much better for them to have some sort of idea what the birth process is like and how they can be a good support person, you know, for you and what you, you know, might need. So
yeah,
definitely.
That class helped a lot. Mm-hmm. It gave him like a lot of, I think, insight when I'm, because I went into like a whole different space in my head. And he did awesome. Like he was great. So I think it's definitely worth, like you said, they need to kind of prepare, even though he didn't, you know, prepare the whole pregnancy kind of like I did. I was the one that needed to do more of that mental work anyway. So I'd say like the last like month and a half, him and I talked like in detail about things that I would need. He knows I'm not a talker when I'm like, you know, in uncomfortable or in any pain or, and we just went through all that kind of stuff of how he could support me. So definitely if your partner is not like a self-motivated preparation person, just sit down and talk with them and tell them what you need because they don't know if you don't tell them.
Oh, absolutely not. So beautiful takeaway. So obviously going through that system, you now knew that you did not want the same experience again. Mm-hmm. So you did a lot of preparation. You hired your home birth midwife. Mm-hmm. Take us through, you know, did you have any early signs of labor approaching for you for your second?
I was, to be honest with you, I was in denial that I was in labor the entire time I was in labor because it was just so different when you're, you know, then when you're induced and well, for me, it was, I don't know for anybody else,
100%.
For me, it was
two different stories, two mm-hmm. very different stories. And
no comparison.
Medical personnel will tell you, most of them, even midwives, which I'm really shocked about, that there's no difference in the contractions. And they are night and day. A contraction that is medically induced, it's like a train hits you. Out of nowhere. And you have nothing else but the contraction. You don't have the pleasurable hormones running through your body. You don't have the love hormone that oxytocin goes through to your brain, alter your consciousness. You have nothing of that, which helps with handling the pain of the contraction.
I can say this time, although my husband would disagree because I screamed out of frustration at one point, but not out of pain. I really did not have pain with this labor. And that shocked me because I've listened to probably at least four that I can remember podcasts of yours where women would say like, you know, it wasn't comfortable, but I can't say that it was painful. And I was like, oh, thank you. Like that happened to me type of thing. But we actually, Sunday the 11th, so she was born the 12th of June. Sunday, June 11th, we had a barbecue. And the day before, I have horses. So we had walked all over his like family's farm where we have our horses. And I took my son like kind of on a nature walk. And then we had like a little picnic. And he's super into survival stuff right now. So we were like, you know, in the woods watching our horses and you know, practicing our survival skills, because I was 40 weeks and 3 days. And I was just like, okay, come on, Penny. Like, you've got to come on, girl. But, you know, the whole thing, I knew she would come when she was ready. I was just ready. Mm-hmm. So we did a ton of walking. I probably walked like 10 miles over the course of like the hours that we were at the farm, because it's so big and there's like trails and stuff. And so then the next day, Sunday, I like cut the grass because my friend was like, I went on a really bumpy boat ride and I went into labor that night. And I was like, I think I'm just going to cut the grass this morning. And so then we ate with his family, and around like, I want to say like 6:30 or so, I started kind of feeling like things were getting a little bit closer together, but they were just not even like that crampy or anything. I had had Braxton Hicks contractions like on and off for probably 2 or 3 weeks. So I was just kind of like unsure, because the whole induction thing, it was like, it was just so different, and you don't know what to expect when it comes on naturally. It's just like, it happened fast though, I will tell you that. So they were probably like 15, 20 minutes apart for a while. And then his mom, when I told her, I was like, they're kind of more like 10 minutes apart now. And that was probably around 7:30. And she kind of flew into like panic mode, because she's like the safety. We always say like, if she could, you know, wrap our son in bubble wrap, she would, type of thing. Like, so she like went through the kitchen, cleaned everything, put everything away. She was like, I've got pots on the stove for you if you need them. All the, like, it was super helpful though, because I was like exhausted anyway. So she kind of prepped our whole kitchen and cleaned our, we had this like really pretty front sunroom with big giant windows, which is where I put my birth pool. I'd say like around 8 o'clock, I was like, okay, my husband's name is Alex. I was like, I think maybe we should think about calling Chloe. They're kind of more like 5 to 10 minutes apart. And since home birth isn't super popular here, Chloe is in a town down by the beach, which is about an hour and 45 minutes from us.
Ooh.
Yeah. She travels like the Delmarva to do home births, and she's great at it. She knows all the back roads. But yeah, at like 8:30, I called her and she was like, okay, well, when they're more like 5 minutes apart consistently for, you know, a minute apiece for an hour, I will get on the road. And I was like, okay. And within an hour, like at 9 o'clock, Alex called her back and he was like, yeah, I think you better head over. And she was like, I already took my dogs to the kennel. I'm on my way. She was like, I kind of figured. And by the time she got there, I think it was about 11:15. And I had kind of moved from like my birth ball in our bedroom. I was like kind of watching TV. Like, I was like, I'll just keep myself distracted. You know, my son had gone with, he calls her Gigi. So he had gone with Gigi to my mother-in-law's, which I was still in denial, because I wasn't even going to send him there. And where we didn't want anybody here with us, we couldn't have Gavin here because we needed a grown-up for him in case I had to transfer to the hospital. That was like kind of one of her policies, was like, just as a, in case, there has to be a grown-up for him.
Yeah.
Which was fine. He kind of didn't want to be there. I left it up to him. He's 5 and a half. He has a good mind of his own at this point. So he knew he didn't want to see me if I was in pain.
Hey, my lovely podcast listener. Did you know that you can work with me one-on-one? Let me share with you what that could look like. I work with women worldwide, online, in one-on-one sessions, from short 30-minute one-off consultations about specific questions unique to her, to packages involving many sessions spanning over pregnancy, birth, and the postpartum. We might work on facing her fears, deepening her relationship to her intuition, her body wisdom, and her baby's wisdom. Learning about her amazing body and the natural birth process, and how to prepare her body, mind, and soul for birth uniquely for her. With some women, I sit in birth debriefing sessions, helping her unpack her previous births and understand on deeper levels why things unfolded as they did, and start the healing process if she's had a traumatic birth experience in the past. With some, we plan a nourishing postpartum uniquely designed for her and her family's needs. And I journey with her and her family through pregnancy, birth, and beyond as her spiritual midwife. If this sounds like something you'd be interested in, then find out more about how to work with me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
Chloe got there and I had moved to the birth pool. And I remember, like, in my head, I kept replaying some of your podcasts. And I was like, okay, this one girl said when she got in the pool, she was too relaxed and like she had to get out because it was slowing her labor down. And I was like, okay, I think I need to get out of the birth pool. And Chloe was like, no, you don't. She was like, stay right where you are. I was like, I think I'm too relaxed. And she was like, relaxed is fine, Rachel. Sit down. You're okay. Like, she didn't say it like that, but it more or less, she was like, you're crazy. Like, you need to stay right where you are. You're doing great. And within an hour, I mean, Penny was there. Chloe got there at 11:15, and she was born at 12:23, roughly an hour later. I remember like backing up away from my hips kind of because she was 10 pounds, 10 ounces. Mm-hmm. So she was a pretty big baby for me. And Gavin was 8 pounds, 11 ounces. So she was 2 pounds bigger than my previous baby. I kind of like moved position so that I was like leaning over the birth pool at one point, and I had like grabbed onto like Alex's hands kind of. I just remember it being like this like beautiful, like peaceful, I don't know. So we have a pond out front of our house, and there's like tons of bullfrogs in the pond. So all I could hear was bullfrogs while I was in labor, but it was so peaceful because I just kept thinking about my son because he loves to go out there and catch the bullfrogs and, you know, play in the pond kind of. So most of the time that I was in labor, I was like picturing my son catching bullfrogs. It was just very calm. And I didn't feel like I had pain. I just kind of moved with the contractions, and I just completely like relaxed everything. And I remembered people like kind of talking about that. Like, you, when you feel that like uncomfortable pain, you just start leaning into it and like let it go. I have like this metaphor, I guess it's a metaphor that I really love from one of my like meditation podcasts. And he talks about like putting something on a cloud and watching it like float by, more or less. So like every time I would have a contraction, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to put it on the cloud and I'm going to let it float by. And I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to move, let it move away kind of thing. And that, I mean, that helped me a ton. But when she got ready to finally start crowning, she had her fist on her face. So she came out with her fist in her face. And that was the part where I kind of got frustrated because she kept like going, and then she would kind of like go back in a little bit. Chloe was like, okay, I want you to kind of like stand up and switch positions because I can't tell if, you know, if she's got like a shoulder going on, if something's like funky, like I just want to see, you know, what's going on. So I stood up and she told me like, well, she's got her fist scrunched up in her face. So not only was I trying to pull out a super or push out a super chunky baby, but she put her fist in there with it. So,
oh my goodness. For anyone that was, I mean, this is also this, you know, and I keep on saying this, and I really want people to understand it. And I love when women like you come on and have big babies, because you can birth a big baby just as well as a smaller baby, a middle-sized baby. Size of babies doesn't matter. Like, you are incredible. Your vagina is incredible. It will stretch. And yes, some babies will come with their hands and their whole their whole elbow and everything, like a little super women, super men.
That's what we said. She super womaned it out of there. She was like, I'm ready, guys. You just got to let me go. It was so funny afterwards, but she did have like a little bruise from where she had her fist on her face. And that was the part where I let out my crazy scream, because it was like just out of frustration. I was just like, and my poor husband, I think he thought I was like dying or something because it was so loud. And then Chloe, I think, thought I was panicking because it was, you know, I had been so calm the whole time and just like, you know, doing my super deep low, like just pushing it down and out, and just everything that I had heard from every single podcast I had listened to of women who did things like low tones and envisioning and seeing your baby go down and out, like everything that I could kind of put together was swirling in my head, but in the calmest way. And so when I let out that big yell, I think they were all like, oh, something's wrong. Because I was just like, you know, I was just calm. And I was like, I'm fine. I'm just frustrated.
Well, good. You expressed. And again, like, that is so powerful. It's potent medicine to express and to sound, and to use sound as it's transformative.
Yeah. Oh, well, after that, it wasn't like a yelly, screamy thing like that anymore, but I definitely got a lot more vocal after that, getting her out. And that was super helpful, because I just took all of my energy to just like I pushed those sounds down. And it was like, she just, as soon as her fist came through there, the rest of her was out. For me, everything was super fast. Like, we didn't have time to take pictures of our birth setup like I wanted to. I had big plans for putting a pot roast in for after the birth, like all these things. But we had just had barbecue, and I was like, I'm not doing any of this. Like, so those things didn't happen, but everything else was absolutely, for me, it was like perfect. It was, I don't know that it was how I envisioned it happening, but it was exactly like how it needed to happen. I just remember sitting down afterwards, because I mean, I had her in the birth pool, but I had her standing up. So when I was laying back in the birth pool was when Chloe kind of told me, like, let's try to like move, because that part of your podcast I had forgotten about, that I could move around. And she was like, well, let's try to move. So like, I moved and I leaned over the birth pool. And then that was the point where she was like, okay, I want you to stand up so I can see. I kind of had like my leg up a little bit. And that was when her fist just like kind of shot out of there. And then like everything just came. And then I like kind of hooked my leg over my cord, because it wasn't very long. My placenta was like huge, because she was big, I'm assuming. I like turned around and sat down, and like, it was just like the most like in awe experience, because I was like, I like can't even believe we just did that. It was like, I knew I could do it. I knew that's what I wanted to do. And I felt like this is normal, and all the other stuff is not normal. But it was just that moment of like, oh, this is normal. This is okay. And we did it. And I just like started bawling, which I didn't do with Gavin, because I think I was in shock in the hospital that like he was there. Mm-hmm. And with this one, it was like, it's just so different. Like, you feel them moving through your body. Like, it's just a completely different connection. And not that I'm not connected to my son, but it's very different. You get to have that relationship with your body. It's a big deal. But yeah. Then we walked to our bedroom, and she had kind of like cradled a pad in between my legs, because my placenta hadn't come out yet. And we got to my bed, and her assistant had like set up everything for me there. I was just going to birth my placenta there. I couldn't even like get up on the bed. I was like, Chloe, I think it's coming out. And she was like, hold on, hold on. She's like, let me just get something under you. And it did, it just fell out. And, yeah. You know.
Great. She was like, that's how we want it to yeah, come out.
It was like within 10 minutes. Yeah. And I was like thinking like, oh, you know, I kind of thought this is going to take like an hour or something. And she was like, you're very efficient, mama. Like, you know, you had that baby so fast and your placenta's already out. She's like, it's fine. So we just kind of snuggled in bed. I had this huge giant salad bowl type of like tossing bowl that I had put my placenta in. They like cleaned up and came back after a while and asked if we were ready to, you know, cut her cord or what we, because we actually hadn't talked about like what we were going to do in that sense. I mean, she knew I didn't want to cut it right away, but she didn't know if we wanted to do any type of like lotus birth or like anything like that. So Alex cut the cord after probably like 45 minutes, maybe an hour. Yeah, we just chit-chatted. They brought me some snacks. They brought me some afterbirth tea and mm-hmm. we relaxed and it was very nice.
The blissful part of home birth when you can mm-hmm. just rest in your own bed, snuggle your babe, mm-hmm. be cared for and loved up and then left alone.
Yeah. And I think it was like, I want to say it was probably around like 3 a.m. because I didn't like hemorrhage, but I lost like the high end of normal for blood, which she was kind of like, you know, considering the fact that you did have like a larger placenta and you did have a bigger baby. And, you know, she was like, there's probably tons of factors of why, you know, you lost the higher end or whatever. But I did get a little bit lightheaded for a while. And she gave me some like chewable tablets to hold like in my cheek. That seemed to help. I got to shower. She asked me if I wanted to go shower and get like anything off. And that was kind of when I got lightheaded. So I think maybe I should have probably just laid down instead of trying to go take a shower.
And, you know, we're all so different. I don't know what your normal blood pressure is or, you know, if you sometimes can feel a bit lightheaded. Like I'm one of those people that quite easily can feel lightheaded because I just have a low blood pressure normally. And so,
I do.
Yeah. And so when it comes to blood loss, it's how you holistically feel. And yes, lightheadedness can be one thing, but you can also lose like just 100 mils or almost nothing and still feel lightheaded. Or you can lose a liter and you can feel like you're on top of the world, like no symptoms, right? So it's not really about the blood loss. It's more about how you holistically are feeling postpartum.
And I will say I didn't feel great. She gave me the option. She wasn't like, you have to do this, because she was like, your blood loss is still in a normal range. Like she was like, I'm not seeing anything concerning, but she was like, if you don't feel well though, like, don't be a hero. Like, let me know, like you have to let me know if something's going on and you know, you don't feel well. Mm. And I do have that hero tendency where I'm like, I'm fine. I was in the army for like 8 years. So I tend to kind of just like cover up and mask things. I was like, yeah, I don't feel 100%. And I wanted to be able to go enjoy laying in there with my baby. So she was like, we're just going to try this. Very big on, you know, get ahead of it before it's a problem type of thing. So we did that. I can't think of anything else. I just didn't get my pot roast. That was all.
You just didn't get your pot roast.
But it was night, wasn't it? My baby.
Yeah. And I mean, it was night. Then it's time to go to bed, have a good big sleep. You know, usually a baby that is not disturbed by medical personnel or anyone else will have a longer sleep, their first sleep, which is when you should have a longer sleep as well, which is really hard because you're really like infatuated and in love with your baby and just want to look at them. But this is the time where you should sleep, all of you. And then, so I'm guessing you had a good night's sleep for at least a few hours with your bub.
Yeah, we did. So Chloe left sometime around 3 or 3:30, and then we woke up, I think at like 7:30 or 8 in the morning. And, kind of let our family know that she had come, and we waited a couple of days to have people over, which was a huge thing in my family. Like it was like, you know, people are supposed to come when you have the baby. And I was like, yeah, we're doing it differently this time.
Brilliant.
And that was the one, you know, big takeaway I had from Gavin was how overwhelmed I was with all those people coming to visit me before I even got to my room. So that's why this time I was very like, if it hurts your feelings, that's something you have to deal with. This is for us. This, we made this baby.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. You just want to be in that baby bubble and be so calm and be so connected and, you know, initiate breastfeeding. You don't want anything to disturb that process. You know, so many women are so afraid that their breastfeeding won't work or that, you know, a big part is to be fully with your baby for the first few weeks, like not pass it around to your family or other people, like really catch your cues with baby, be skin to skin as much as you can, you know?
Yeah. And I will say like my friends and stuff have been really great about it. They grew up in a different dynamic though, and I guess similar dynamics. So they understand the need for boundaries type of thing. But I've had like a bunch of my girlfriends that have just dropped off. We have a lot of really like sweet local bakeries and holistic foods places and stuff in this town near us. It's called Chestertown. They would just like drop things off and be like, I left something, like don't leave it outside, you know, like that kind of thing. Or, you know, bring something in, prepare it, you know, put it on plates and like leave and be like, okay, we'll see you. Very like helpful and needed, but like also like we're gonna, you know, respect that you guys aren't really ready for anything more than that. So that was really nice.
Beautiful. So if you had a first time mama in front of you right now who's about to have her first baby and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice and pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
I'm going to say what most people say, and that's prepare yourself. For me, that was listening to as many podcasts as I could, like every day. I probably listened to like at least one, but usually like two or three, whether it was yours or like a meditation podcast or, you know, a different birth podcast. Just grab all of that information, because when you go from knowing nothing essentially to listening to all of these women who have these experiences, it makes it less scary, because being a first time mom is scary. There's just no denying that. It's beautiful and it's amazing, but it's also like the unknown. So there's, you know, you have to prepare yourself. And I wish I had known that a lot more with Gavin. But also definitely setting your boundaries, knowing what you need, and setting yourself up to succeed in that way, because people will 100% push through those boundaries if you don't put like a stronghold in front of them. So you have to be very firm in those things. I guess like my biggest pearl of wisdom would be, when you feel like you're going into labor, relax. I can't say that enough. Like I know when she started coming, it was all her. Like I didn't push except for to get her hand out of there. It just made it so much easier to just let go. That would be my pearls of wisdom. Relax to the best of your ability and just focus on whatever keeps you calm. For me, it was bullfrogs, I guess. but you know, it's different for everyone. So yeah. Figure out what keeps you calm and make sure you have that available, or focus on that if it's something that, you know, pops up. So
I love that. Bullfrogs kept you company throughout the thing. I love that. I really, really love that. I feel like, you know, frogs bring on, like they sing so loud and the rain's coming, isn't it? It's like it is abundance, fertility. It is. I feel like they very much are an omen of birth, frogs for sure.
Really? I grew up like in the water too. So I think like between the birth pool and like thinking of the frogs, like swimming in the water, like I grew up at the beach, probably like 15, 20 minutes from the beach. For me, like anything water related, it kind of just soothes me. So.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure having you on.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. I loved your podcast the whole time I was pregnant. So if we ever have another baby, I'm sure I will be right back at it.
Beautiful. Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please consider sharing it. Leave a review or make a contribution on our Patreon page. And if you want to connect on social media, then find the podcast on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Thank you for listening.